God will speak to his anointed. A word came to him. And when the word came, he came out of the cave, went to Judah, and wrote a song. And he said, I bless the Lord. Basically, David was still on the run. But he said, I'm praising God because he heard me. You ought to praise him because he can hear you. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. David remembered how God delivered him over and over. He had just left Abimelech, who wanted to kill him. But David said, I'm going to fall out like a madman. Start jumping and doing all kind of stuff. David screaming and hollering and jumping. He was praising the Lord. I'm about to die here. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to go down praising. And Abimelech said, get him out of here. It's bad luck to kill a crazy man. He went to Judah and wrote that song. The greatest work will happen while you're in the trial. You want to see some great stuff happen? Go through something. Watch how powerful God move on your behalf. Watch how powerful you realize you are. David knew he was going through it.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do for you and me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time of hearing from you in the word. We pray that you would take the text that we are teaching today and minister to us deeply underneath the skin. Meet us right where we are, and then lift us to the place you'd have us to go and to be. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, excuse me, chapter 2, verse 20. And I want to lift out the first eight words of that verse. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Paul simply says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject with Christ, living in spite of me. With Christ, living in spite of me. This verse is laden with principles and points to preach and to ponder. It is one that we can literally walk through word upon word, line upon line, and precept upon precept. It reveals so much about several things that have to do with the believer and his or her walk with the Lord. One of the things that I love about this verse is the way that Paul begins and how he shares his convictions concerning himself and concerning his Savior. And he starts off by saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, he says, I am crucified. Not I was crucified. One of the things that I think we'll find helpful is that Paul immediately establishes the difference between the crucifixion of Christ and his daily crucifixion. One, Christ was crucified once and one time only. His crucifixion was for the exiting of this world. But Paul's crucifixion is for an example to this world. And so literally, when you begin to see, he starts off talking about himself, because the first word is I. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So first thing I want you to see is in this verse, he talks about self. Now, can I say to you, my brothers and sisters, if you can't tell your own story, your story is not fit to be told. If you can't speak out of your own convictions, out of your own choices, out of your own course, then something is wrong with your witness or your testimony. And so Paul makes it clear, because Paul himself knows the course that he has taken. He knows what he has dealt with. He knows what he has gone through. And so it's important for him to establish the fact that he is going through personally. Therefore, it qualifies him to speak about, first of all, himself. And if you want to encourage somebody, what always blesses them is to be able to say, I know what you're going through, because I have been there and done that. And if God could do it for me, he can do it for you. To be able to be an encouragement, you need to be able to be an example. And to be an example, you've got to have an experience. And so it's important to recognize that how he sets this up is so helpful and advantageous to the believer, so that we will be able also to have these kinds of convictions. Because literally, Paul has declared before, I die daily. I die daily. Well, he doesn't mean physically. He means figuratively. Christ died literally, but when Paul talks here, he's talking figuratively. And so what we need to understand is, as born again believers, listen, we have died out to the flesh and became alive to the Spirit. See, if regardless of what side you choose, you're going to die out to one and live to the other. So you got to make a choice one way or the other. And so what happens is, what you used to love when you were in the world, once you become saved, you no longer love that. Even the world coined a phrase in a song that says, it's a thin line between love, y'all acting holier than thou now, love and hate. You know what I'm saying? And so, because when the love is gone, 9 out of 10 times, hate makes its way in to most of our hearts and lives if we are not careful. And so here, Paul literally makes clear that he is crucified. So he starts off talking about self, but then he starts talking about suffering when he says, I am crucified. And this crucifixion, again, is figuratively. It's talking about sufferings. And one of the things that we've got to be clear about is to understand, if you're going to accept Christ, you're going to have to suffer. See, there is some twisted mentality about being a Christian and a believer. We think that when we come out of a world of hell and damnation and tribulation and all of the rest of those things, that when we become a Christian, things change and it becomes smoother and easier and lighter, and we lay on a bed of roses and life just takes on a sweet aroma and things change. Yeah, some of those things happen, but that's not the reality of our change. As a matter of fact, when you change, you go through more hell, more trouble, more trials, more tribulations, because you will be tested and proven to be who God says you are. And so when you begin to understand that your crucifixion is a type of suffering for Christ, your type of suffering with Christ, then you stop getting all of the whiny babies, cry babies, who's always asking, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Lord, how long am I going to be dealing with this? Now, when you are crucified in the flesh and you identify with the sufferings of Christ. Now, let me be clear about this. As long as your crucifixion is with and for Christ, you are right. Because some of us are being crucified correctly. For what we've done, and know that we're not right. And so the enemy has a right to bring the charges against us and cause us to go through the things that we go through because of lifestyle changes and choices that we made. But I'm talking about being crucified with Christ, suffering for Christ, understanding that the only reason you're going through what you're going through is because you represent Christ. It changes your perspective when you understand and begin to believe that I wouldn't be going through this had I not been a witness for the Lord. So that's what keep a lot of folk from standing up for the Lord on their jobs, in school, among their peers, in certain groups, certain places. That's what keep a whole lot of us from sharing our witness with folk, because we don't want to be crucified. We don't want to be suffering for Christ. Well, I got news for you. If you don't suffer with him, you won't glory with him either. He has a share of glory for those who share his sufferings. You see, this is a man, Paul, who speaks here, and he knows of the sufferings he's endured. He knows what he's gone through. He's paid a great price for switching over and becoming a Christian. He knows what he's dealt with since being saved, and it's far worse than what it was when he was on the other side. And so he talks about, I am crucified. I suffer with Christ. Now, here's what you've got to understand when Paul says this, and it's expedient that you grasp this understanding, that you represent the Lord. You don't represent yourself. You represent the Lord. And in representing the Lord, there are some things God expects you to do at a certain level. that you have got to honor the standard that his word has raised. And so living beneath that standard makes you less than an effective witness for him. And when you're less than an effective witness for him, the enemy points out all of your weaknesses and draws attention to all of your flaws so that folk who hear you discount what you say. When you go through something, it's, listen, a matter of fact that that is because of whose side you're on. And you no longer are ashamed to go through things because you recognize that I'm going through this because the Lord has already dealt with this issue. And if I go through these issues, I am partaking in his suffering, in his crucifixion, in those things as well. Why? Because I am a representative of him. And since he's no longer here, then I've got to walk the path that he walked. I've got to talk the talk that he talked. I've got to represent him in the earth realm like he represented himself when he was here. And he says, if the world hate you, know that it hate you because it hated me first. Understand that. Understand the reason you're ridiculed and you're lied on and you're put down and you're talked about is because you're living right. You're loving right. You're giving right. You're doing right. You are right. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're walking in the way of the Lord. Circumspect. And the more you do that, the enemy plots against you, plans against you, comes against you. But suffering is a part, listen at this, of you growing and maturing in Christ. When Paul talks about living for the Lord, he's talking about a life that is riddled with ups and downs, with good and bad, with right and wrong, with challenges and circumstances. But here's what he knows. That with all of those things that come up against him, and he is accepting them in the spirit of having suffered for Christ, that this is going to pay off for his good. He's not suffering for nothing. See, somebody need to understand, when you suffer for Christ, you're not suffering for nothing. The Lord's going to pay for every day you've had to suffer for his way. The Lord's going to make right every wrong that's come against you. The Lord's going to elevate every time you've been put down. The Lord is going to make you strong every time you've gotten weak on this journey. God is going to do the impossible for you when you learn to suffer for him. He says, I am crucified. But now, here's what makes sense. With Christ. Now he's talking about his Savior now. He started off with himself, making clear this was my own conviction. This was my own choice. And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to get paid, it's got to be your choice. You can't suffer by accident. You got to suffer because you heard his voice and you yielded to it. You got to suffer because he told you to do something and you did it. You got to suffer because you hold up the bloodstained banner. You got to suffer because he has ordered you and ordained you and you operated in obedience. You got to suffer because of him, not because of something you've done or not did or not have done. It's important to see this for the reality. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. See, that's how you got to see suffering. What a difference it'll make. Stronger, bolder believers who will be mouthpiece for the Lord, who will go where he tells them to go, who will do what he tells them to do. How more enriched would your witness be? When you're not ashamed to be a true witness for the Lord. To give till it hurts. To give till it stops hurting. To give till it feels good. That caused some suffering because we don't like to give. And I'm talking about first of ourselves and then of our substance. Because if you won't give yourself, you ain't about to give your substance. And we've got to understand he's doing all of this with Christ in mind. With Christ. Now listen at this. He says, even though I'm crucified with Christ, and Christ died, and he says, figuratively, I died daily. He says, nevertheless, I live. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a powerful transition because here's what you got to know. The more you die to the flesh,
all right,
the more spiritual you become. The more you begin to live life on a higher level and a more blessed state with God. He says, never in spite of me, in spite of what I go through, in spite of what I deal with, in spite of all of my complaints, in spite of all of my problems, in spite of all of my issues, I live. Why? Because my association is with Jesus. And here's the good part, because we like to talk about the glory. We like to talk about the blessings. We like to talk about the healing, the deliverances, and all the rest of the benefits that we get. But I got news for you. They come after the suffering. And see, that's how the enemy rips us apart because and messes with our faith and takes our hope away because we're waiting for all of these things to come without having suffered. Without having gone through some things. Some things don't start till you've gone through some stuff. And so it's important to realize, he says, nevertheless, I live. Now this word doesn't mean exist. Nevertheless, I exist. Nevertheless, I get by. Nevertheless, I'm making it. Nevertheless, I'm hanging on. Nevertheless, all of these phraseologies we use, he says, nevertheless, I live. He's talking about with the effervescence of the power of the risen Savior. He's talking about living victoriously. He's talking about living, being large and in charge. He's talking about living, expecting his miracle and his blessings every day because of what he has given up and what he has paid the price for in suffering with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live. And you know what is most rewarding? To be able to go to somebody and desire to minister to them when it's perceived that they're down. And when you get there trying to minister to them, they're ministering to you because they live. Man, this is a setback. It ain't no big thing. I'm coming out of this. They're not having a pity party, moaning and groaning and whining and crying. They recognize there's a brighter day ahead. And I live. I dare say this at the risk of hurting a lot of folks' feelings this morning. Some of us don't know what living is. Yeah, just because you got a little money in the bank, that ain't living. Just because you drive a fine car, live in a nice house, you know, wear some nice rags, that ain't living. Just because you got a nice little position on your job and people look up to you, you think you the man, you think you the woman, that ain't living. The world has more than that stuff. Listen, you are living when you learn to give up your life for Christ. If you're not willing to give up your life, then you'll lose your life. But if you lose your life for Christ's sake, you'll save your life. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the answer is nothing. It profits him nothing. And we can't say that we're living. I mean, until we know what suffering is for Christ, experiencing what he wants us to go through. Because listen, he won't put more on you than you can handle. Now, one of the reasons why you can't go higher is because you can't handle what you got right now. I mean, you think about it. You hire somebody and they want a promotion and they ain't doing the job where they are right now. Would you give them a promotion? No. Or every time you give them something to do, they complain, Lord, another thing. You'd be like, you know what? This complaining is really getting next to me. It's getting old. It's getting tired. You got to say something about everything you go. And that's the same thing with some believers who are not believing and are serious about knowing that their lives consist of whatever God himself has prepared for them to go through in order to go to. What you're trying to get to, God has placed you on a path to reach there. But you can't complain about everything you deal with on the path while you're getting to what God has for you. Listen, every time you start being cynical and disillusioned, cranking, complaining, you slow down the time of getting where you're trying to get to. And sometimes because you miss that, you miss your connect at the next destination. And the problem is because you've delayed whining and crying about what you're going through. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Listen at this. This ain't moaning and groaning. He starts off admitting, I am crucified. How many folks say that with a positive twist to it? Lord, I'm going through. Lord, it's rough. It's tough. I don't know how much I can take it is. I don't know if I can go another further. And all that kind of stuff. He says, I am crucified. But here's where the joy comes in. With Christ. Not because of no stuff I've done and things that I've misused and abused, but because I have chosen to identify with Christ in his sufferings. And can I tell you one thing, my brothers and sisters? The most purest and truest friendship, the most purest and truest fellowship is when one is down and out, has nothing to give to the other that stands with him during that time. That's when the real character shows. No wonder Jesus says in that day, when of you come here talking about Lord, Lord, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. When I was naked, you didn't put any clothes on my back. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was in jail, you didn't come to see me. And here's what the church folk going to say. Lord, when were you ever in that condition? And we didn't do anything about it. The Lord says, when you've done it unto them, the least of these, you've done it unto me. And suffering means going when you don't feel like going. And doing what you don't feel like doing. Suffering means that you sacrifice when you're down to your last. Suffering means standing up when you want to sit down and just not be seen and not be heard. Suffering means to give in to what God has called you to do. And when you do that,